and welcome back to Eddie and Caleb's HeroCast. I am Caleb B. That's where you can follow me on Twitter. Follow Eddie at EDDYC85. Follow the show at EC_hero. Follow our Instagram, EC HeroCast. Our Gmail is ECHeroCast@gmail.com. Remember, you can also listen to me every Thursday morning as a part of the Grave Consequences podcast. That is a part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Said it before, I'll say it again. It's about a damn good wrestling show that was way ahead of its time, Lucha Underground. We're coming up towards the end of the first season. Eddie, we're going to get you on there one day, man.
I will only be on there when there's when it gets real bad.
Oh, so you'll get on there for like season four. Gotcha.
Yeah, I want to talk about the world ending. When the NXT color guy is the Antichrist or whatever that was supposed to be.
God, I don't know who you're talking about right now, but whatever. We're not alone today, because today we are reviewing The Crow Salvation. And as it was with City of Angels in the original, we are joined by my good friend, our good friend, fellow Oklahoman, one Dub Cothran. You can follow him at Strange Dub. Dub, thank you for joining us on this lovely blanket white President's Day 2021, sir.
I've come to bring the standards down along with the movie. So
hey, say what you want. Real quick, one movie we're not going to be talking about on the podcast is Wicked Prayer. I watched that the other day. It is as bad as I was told.
Why would you do that?
I was going to sleep, so I was like, I'll turn it on. And then it's like, okay, it's like, look at this cast here. We got Edward Furlong. We got David Boreanaz. Holy crap, I watched Buffy as a child. This sounds awesome. We got Tara Reid. Oh, she's hot. She was in American Pie. We've got Macy Gray. I loved her cameo in Spider-Man. We've got Tito Ortiz, the Huntington Beach bad boy. Oh, awesome. We've got Dennis Hopper. Hell yeah. I love Texas Chainsaw 2. Then I found out this was direct-to-video, and I quickly found out why. It shouldn't
have even been put there. It should not have been filmed.
Oh, it was so bad.
Well, let me ask, because I'll not see it. How was this worse than City of Angels?
Edward Furlong seemed like he was completely just heroin.
He was gone.
Running through his veins. Tara Reid and her Oscar-worthy performance and everything.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird the only good movie she was in where she actually was convincing was American Pie and all of those?
I think go back and watch American Pie 1 series. And see some of her reactions and her delivery in American Pie 1. You might rethink that even. Because even then, she wasn't believable.
I don't know. I buy her as, like, the high school hot girl. I mean, or Van Wilder, that's another one that's similar.
I haven't seen that forever.
I think yeah. I bought it from Family Video. Guilty pleasure movie.
Nice. Was Tara Reid a chain smoker growing up? Because she's always sounded like a chain smoker.
Good possibility.
She's got the nasally voice that some girls have.
That's fair.
That's not an insult, by the way. That's just how I describe
it. It's a fact of life. Dummy! Yeah! Shout out Eli Drake.
Who's Eli?
That is topical.
Who is Eli Drake? Topical.
Sorry, L.A. Knight.
He is an L.A. Knight.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the name, but whatever.
Yeah, not so much, but
he can cut a promo and promo circles around like everyone in NXT, so it's not a bad signing whatsoever.
Not Pat McAfee.
Okay, yes, Pat McAfee is the exception.
Who was right all along about Adam Cole.
I was legitimately excited to see Eli Drake show up. I was happy.
Yeah.
Of course, my buddy that I was watching it with, it was like, who the hell is that?
Was it Shane?
No, it was Hunter.
Okay.
Basically, if I'm watching something with someone, it's Hunter every time.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I think we can get into...
Real quick, I want to tell my quick snow story.
Nice. Go ahead.
I probably built it up too much, but I thought it was kind of funny. So it was supposed to be, we're getting this big winter storm, and it was going to be Saturday at 10 p.m. And then they pushed it back to Sunday afternoon. And then they pushed it back. It's like, okay, Sunday at midnight, final answer. And I go to bed, and it wasn't snowing yet. And I'm like, well, it'll get here when I wake up. I wake up, I look out, I'm like, okay, let's see this damage. And, like, what is the step above a dusting? Because that's what it was. I was like, all this hype, and this is what we got. Now, I'm sure we'll get pounded later this week, because, you know, that's how it is. But this was supposed to be the big storm, and it's like, that was nothing. Like, okay, because they were like, well, stock up on food and don't go anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere until Wednesday, probably. And it's like, that's nothing. But
Eddie, I'm sorry to say, that sounds like literally every winter for the past 10 years in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you know anyone in Texas right now, though, you need to call them and give them some tips since you're more used to it, because they don't know what they're doing right now.
Yeah. What is this white stuff?
But see, it
is not going well.
I don't know. I think the people in Ohio, Indiana, and like the Northeast can sympathize, because we get pounded with snow every year. So I was very excited when I looked out the window and was like, this was nothing. And again, I'm sure tomorrow we'll get it. But I spent a couple hours yesterday cleaning out the driveway. I had to rearrange my garage and put the car in the garage. The door wouldn't open up because there was ice formed underneath, and that was a pain. But I was like, God, I did all that work for just this dusting of snow. Like, oh well. But I'm prepared if it comes again, I guess.
Also, you work from home, don't you?
Yeah, but I also, after I get off work, I like to, you know, go somewhere sometimes. And
that makes sense.
I hate driving around with a bunch of snow all over my car. Normally I would keep it in the garage, but it's used for storage now. And since I don't have to get up and go to work, it's like, what's the point? So I was like, all right, this forced me to do work that I ended up not having to do. So
yeah,
there you go.
So as I mentioned, this is the first movie of the 2000s we're reviewing. And as such, we are all wearing JNCO jeans, wearing red ball caps, and listening to Korn. Oh, and drinking Mountain Dew Code Red.
Oh, yeah.
God, I miss JNCOs. I love those. I really did. I don't care. They were so much better than skinny jeans.
Oh, man.
I miss the early 2000s in general, so.
I bet.
And actually, I wouldn't be listening to Korn probably, because $3 Bill album from Limp Bizkit, the first one? That's a much better.
Yeah.
That one holds up. It's a good album.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, I guess we can get into, what's the first thing we do, the facts and figures?
Yes, and this blew my mind. So I could not believe...
$1 billion in profits!
No. Well, the budget was $10 million, and I could not believe that a movie from this century, the 2000s, I could not find a box office on. I looked a lot of different places. I don't just go to Wikipedia and like, oh, not there, move on. I went to several sites, and I could not find it. And usually that's a bad sign. I mean, I guess it didn't lose any more than $10 million, but I'm guessing the profit was very small. So it probably went unreported or something like that, but yeah, our first movie of the new millennium, it goes in the it joins Swamp Thing, Punisher, Sergeant Kabuki Man, and Guyver in the unknown category. So there you go. But I'm gonna assume it was a money loser. But
truly amazing.
Yeah, very disappointing. It's like that's. It came out when the internet, it's like, what was it? I mean, there was still dial-up, but it was like, dial-up was getting a little quicker around 2000, so it's just amazing that, like, man, couldn't get the number on this movie? That's kind of crazy. But
yeah.
I'm guessing this will probably be the last movie that happens with. I hope, because I hate not reporting it. But if it's, if it's not there, it's not there. I can't find it.
Yeah. How about the critical reception? What were the Rotten Tomatoes score on the thing?
Well, the critics were at 22% and the fans were at 43%. So there you go.
Okay. I will. My rating might be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's a higher score than City of Angels, and, and Dub had told us that it was, you know, a better movie than City of Angels. But I do have one question before we dive into the cast. And I'm not even going to discuss Wicked Prayer, because that's probably just a, you know, a direct-to-DVD money grab type movie. But when you had The First Crow, which we all loved and was great and a box office success, then you had the second one, which was not a box office success. Let me pull up the finances on that. But it was... very much not liked by people. Yeah, Crow City of Angels had a $5 million profit, so...
more than it deserves.
Yeah, you figure you're making a third one, it's going to be even lower, so...
Yeah.
I have a question. Why was this movie even made?
to get Kirsten Dunst on the big screen. Yeah.
The signs were there that this was not going to work. It's not like, oh, wow, I can't believe we didn't even break our budget. So low that we didn't even report the profits. That's how low it was. So.
I mean, it could be a situation like that last Fantastic Four where we just needed to keep the license. Just had to make one to keep it.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I guess it just... I mean, I did a little research. Apparently they're trying to reboot it again, but it's the project is being held up. And that was, I think I read something from January of 2020. So it was being held up before COVID, so, eh.
Are you talking The Crow?
Yeah, a new version.
Yeah, they've been trying to do it for years, had like three different stars attached. So far, the only one I've been really like full on for was when Momoa was in for it, but I would have been down for him to play.
Yeah, say, I could buy Momoa as The Crow.
Yeah, I think we discussed that. That was...
Oh.
Oh, one other interesting thing that I did in some research, and this has nothing to do with this movie, it was more back to the first movie, that Brandon Lee, had he not died filming The Crow, was set to play Liu Kang in the Mortal Kombat movie. So, how about that?
Huh.
I thought that was
interesting.
That would have been cool, I think. Not that the guy that got it wasn't fine, but, I mean, Brandon Lee's way cooler.
Wasn't the guy in, was it The Phantom? Or no, The Shadow?
Oh, the, well, or no.
Am I mixing people up?
You are. The guy that played Shang Tsung was the one of the villains in The Phantom.
Okay. Gotcha. Sorry, I swear I'm not racist.
It's okay. But, yeah, and then a couple months, new Mortal Kombat's coming out, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, we did confirm Justice League 2021 is coming out in March.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be after Wonder Woman.
Yep, a new addition to the list, much to Caleb's chagrin.
Yeah, but, I was not a fan of having to review what... is probably going to be mostly the same movie twice, but...
Well, that's what
So that means it can't really be worse, can it?
I suppose.
Well, what I'm curious about is the big... So, yes, the Justice League Snyder Cut we've added after Wonder Woman 84. It is, as of now, unless we add something else in between, which I'm sure we will, it is the
169.
Oh, I have 168. That's not good.
Okay, we're...
Oh,
we'll go down the list later.
That's bad. Unless I...
Uh-oh.
What on earth could... did you remove Son of Mask that we decided did not fit the criteria?
Long ago, yes. I added... Chronicle.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Chronicle and I think Dragon Ball, which will probably not be good, but...
I added both of those, so I mean... I don't know what you're missing or what I added that you're missing. Did you put the losers on there?
The losers should be, let's see.
Should be between Kick-Ass and Iron Man 2.
Yep, they're on there.
We'll figure it out.
Huh. Well, that's weird.
All right. Oh, man. I guess we can go into the cast then, right?
Sounds about right. Oh, I was going to say, the one thing I'm curious about, it's like Joker and Darkseid are in it. So, I mean, that's like two major characters, even though, you know, you can say what you want about Jared Leto's Joker. It's just weird that it's like a cut version of the movie has two major characters missing from it. So I am curious how that's going to play out, unless they're in just like cameo scenes, which in that case I'll be very disappointed. And then the movie will get panned by me, but, you know, I'll probably have some people over and watch it when it comes out, maybe. I'll get HBO Max for a month. Something like that.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this cast list, and I can think of four people that we need to spend a little bit of time talking about, and then one person we can mention.
Now, I know who the one you can mention is. Would you like to start with him?
Yeah, it's Walton Goggins, it's Stan Roberts. Those of you that watch Sons know him as Trixie, and those of you that watch Justified know him as Boyd. Truly amazing, although here he was a background character, but he did have, and we'll talk about it when we get to the plot, probably, okay, he is a far and away so far, and there's only been one movie, front runner for best death of the decade.
He had my favorite line of the movie, too.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
That man is just a gift with some of the characters that he plays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just, if you haven't seen Fat Man, by the way, you definitely should.
Okay.
Where he's a hitman that's been sent after Santa, played by Mel Gibson. It is,
yes,
quite a good film. It's very fun.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Fat Man, I'll add Fat Man to the list, and I'll add Nobody to the list as well.
Yeah, I was.
That's Bob Odenkirk.
I'll say this about Walton Goggins, because we've seen a lot of movies, even The Last Crow with, what was his name, the dude that plays Punisher?
Thomas Jane.
Yes. I mean, this is not the first time we have seen a big-name actor in a low-level movie, but usually, mm-hmm. usually the big name, the soon-to-be big name actor gets a big role, because even some of these movies, with how most of them are bad, they can at least recognize, hey, this guy's a pretty good actor. For whatever reason, Walton Goggins, they're like, just stick him in the background. He's not even one of the four main cops. Like, I would have liked it if he were, like, the number one. He didn't have to be the captain, because the captain should be older, but he should have been, you know, Madden, like, the main corrupt cop. That would have, I think, been a lot better.
Yeah. Another one real quick, those of you that know character actors might have recognized him. Tim DeKay is Martin Toomey. Those of you that watched White Collar, you would know him, but that's really all that stuck out to me as far as the background guys go.
All right. Well,
I'm guessing nobody watched White Collar on USA.
Trying to think of all the characters now. I had it written out. I'm gonna look at it again.
Oh, by the way, and my mom recognized him because I was actually watching this with my mom because, you know, snowed in. Grant Shod was Walsh. He was on Murphy Brown.
I did catch that because I'm like, oh, I guess he just plays lawyers. So.
Let's see. Who did I list on my stuff? It was Tim DeLay. I knew him from Carnival. Very short-lived HBO show that was fantastic.
Nick Stahl.
Yeah, and, oh god, Mr. Krabs, I just forgot his name. The Kurgan.
Dude, you're telling me Clancy Brown was in this?
There we go, that's what it was.
I did not see him.
He was on Carnival.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So, which is a fantastic little show.
I'll have to look it up.
If you get into it, you're going to be upset because they cut it off after the second season. and didn't renew it. HBO made a terrible decision and left it on a cliffhanger. So
that's the worst.
Then the
I may not be able to watch then.
The only other one that was kind of severe background that I went with was the William Atherton.
Yes.
Because that's Dr. Noah Faulkner from Biodome, and I love my Pauly Shore movies.
Oh!
So...
I knew I recognized him. I wasn't even going to bring him up as background, because like, I thought he had enough character that he warranted being mentioned as well.
Well, my love for Biodome wasn't gonna let him not be mentioned at some point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God, I love Biodome. Can't believe my brother was in that one.
Well, who are we actually going to kick off with? Since
William Atherton as Nathan Randall.
Oh, yeah, he was. It's funny. This is not really a spoiler because it's the first scene. Like, as soon as I see him, it's like, oh, well, he's the bad guy. So he at least had that look where it's like, I recognize right away, so I'll give that to him. You know, for a guy who was, like, indirectly responsible for killing his daughter, he took it pretty well, so...
Yeah.
He was fine. He looked the part. He didn't really leave a huge impression on me, though. If this was, like, a big-budget movie, this would be, like, a perfect Willem Dafoe role, but it's not a big-budget movie, so... You get discount Willem Dafoe, Willem Atherton.
Mm. Yeah, I thought, you know, now that you mention it, discount Willem Dafoe, like, I see it. I see it for sure, but I thought Dafoe he was fine.
Couldn't have been Noah Faulkner, I'm just saying.
That's great. Oh, by the way, shout out Jodie Lynn O'Keefe. She's in, like, three scenes.
And she is the highlight of this film, let me tell you. Because
absolutely.
That woman, oh.
Actually, I'll say this: there's one particular highlight, and it stood out for me because of what she would go on to do later on in this podcast series.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, Fred Ward as the captain. What did we think of the captain?
He was fine. I mean, his character didn't get going until, like, the middle of the movie, so they introduced him kind of late, and I wasn't even sure at first if he was even in on all the corruption, just because it felt like he should have been introduced earlier, I guess, but he was fine. I did like his last scene when he was strapped into the chair, when he gave this big angry speech. That was pretty cool. I liked that.
Yeah. It was a good villain dying speech for sure.
Yeah,
Dub, what'd you think of him?
I feel like Fred Ward has fallen into a lot of, like, almost straight to video movies and plays basically the same personality type every time. I feel like I've seen, like, the I'm the hidden big boss bad guy thing from him more than once. I mean, it was not bad. He pulls it off for the most part, but I also didn't believe him as someone who was doing implants into his arm. But
oh yeah, that was weird. That he didn't strike me as that at all.
Not in the slightest.
No. let's see here. Okay, yeah, Kirsten Dunst as Erin Randall. This is her first appearance. I was shocked when going through this, I'm like, holy crap, she's going to be on here before Spider-Man. She was great here. And as far as the Jenny Blake standard goes, she's making a run for the money. And it's so funny to see that because, you know, we do best and worst at the end of each decade. And I just spitballing. She may be in the running for best and worst Jenny Blake standard of the 2000s.
I look forward to hearing
because
that.
Mary Jean Watson sucks, dude.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, it's funny, because I was looking... Well, first I'm looking at Walton Goggins' filmography, because I had just mentioned, you know, you'll see a lot of these young actors who end up being really good, and they're in these type of movies. He was only in five. He did a lot of TV work, but he was only in five movies before this one, and one of them was a deleted scene on a DVD. So I was like, okay, was how well known was Kirsten Dunst before this? And she was in a lot. And she apparently was one of the kids in the movie Jumanji with 95. I didn't even know that, but
yep.
So yeah, she was in a lot, just didn't have many big roles. So she was, I would say, like a C-level actor, C-minus maybe. But I mean, obviously she didn't get super over until Spider-Man, or I guess maybe Bring It On.
Yeah.
But actually, probably was Bring It On, but
yeah, probably.
But yeah, she did. I thought she was pretty good in this. She's probably the best, you know. Not surprisingly, she's an A-list actor now, so she was the best actor in the movie. You know, what a shock!
Didn't she already have like an Oscar nod by this point?
Interview with the Vampire, 1994, yeah. Golden Globe nom.
Hmm.
She had a... Yeah,
Little
she,
Women
she
in
came
1994.
From... Little Kid came out swinging, and then just kind of.
Maybe as yeah. a maybe she kind of faded away as after a child actor and had to like you know
reinvent herself.
Yeah, reinvent herself as an adult actor. I don't know.
Small Soldiers in 98.
Oh, who could forget?
Don't hit on Small Soldiers.
But no, I would say well. Based on the fact that a movie with a $10 million budget could afford her, to me that says that she was not, you know, this big star at this point. So I'll stand by my statement.
She was just hoping for the best.
Yeah, just a C-level actor, and they were probably thrilled to have her.
She was an MTV Movie Award winner by this point, thank you very much.
Did she win Best Kiss? Because Michael Keaton and Michelle Pfeiffer won Best Kiss.
Actually,
personally, I would have given it to Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer, but whatever.
Bring It On got $80 million, so yeah, it probably was her big breakout role.
Damn, she don't do a thing now.
Nope.
She's living off that Crow Salvation money.
Kirsten yeah. Dunst, come on the podcast for Spider-Man.
That'd be cool.
I'm going to add her and ask her to come on the show.
Yeah. Let me know what she says.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Swing for the fences.
It's true. So we left with just Eric Mobius as Alexander Frederick Corvus, the Crow.
As Alex Corvus, he sucked. As the Crow, I thought he was pretty good. And bruh, his burnt face, like... legitimately the scariest anyone has looked in the series before.
That's always one of the things that I throw out there about this movie is the addition of the burnt face being the Crow makeup. I always thought was a wonderful touch.
Yep. I agree.
I gotta say, I don't know, I've never seen this guy in any other movie, so I don't know if he's any good or not. I didn't buy it. He looked like, since we are dealing with the 2000, he looked like the goth kids at high school who wear the big giant Jenko jeans, the Marilyn Manson tee, the beaded necklace, paint his nails black, and I mean, it's like that's who he looked like, but I was not afraid of the goth kids in high school. It was like, you know, you can...
I hung out with the goth kids, so...
I didn't have a problem with them, but if their goal was to, like, hey, you should be scared of us any day now, we could do a Columbine, which that was, like, that wasn't necessarily what they said. That was what, you know, people on the news would say, like, oh, Marilyn Manson music is going to lead people to Columbine, which, of course,
turns out it's going to lead them to something completely different.
Yeah, but...
So we found out recently.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, yes, yeah, I didn't... You know, as a superhero, just didn't really, I don't know, he didn't really look the part for me. And, you know, one of the things I thought about during this movie, which I'll get into towards the end, I wish each Crow were different. Because, like, I even pulled up the names of all four Crows. You have Eric Draven, Ash Corvin, Alex Corvus, and Jimmy Cuervo. I mean, they're all short last names with a V in them, sometimes a C. And it's like, man, could you have made it a little bit more different? So that was one of my big issues with with the movie. It's like, you know, what if instead, what if one was...
His name was John Smith.
Well, no, but like, what if instead of like just some angsty teen guy, what if one was a, you know, like a college guy who would completely not be into all that stuff, but then... Like, who says that the Crow has to be this a goth-type person? You know, what if it's like a smart, you know, Dean's List guy, and he and his girlfriend get killed or something like that? Or what if one's like a priest or something? I don't know. You could be creative with it.
And then he becomes the Crow and becomes, like, more angsty and gothy and that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's like, oh, what has happened? You know, like, kind of a fish-out-of-water type thing. I think that would have been at least more interesting.
Personality change.
I don't think it's
going to
be as menacing
nice.
If you're being... chased down by a guy in a pink polo with a bird.
it didn't have to be that. Didn't have to necessarily be that, but
it'd be one of those. Oh, what's the clothing line that has the animals on the polo shirts?
You mean like the alligator thing or the
yeah, whatever. Let's say when he like before he dies, there's an alligator on there. He wakes up. Oh my god, there's a crow.
But no, but it could be...
That's the identifying mark.
It's kind of like, not the crappy Captain America, but the one we'll eventually review, where it's like he was kind of a loser, and then he, you know, something like that.
And then he faked getting car sick.
Yeah, no, not that one. But,
oh.
If a priest would have been kind of cool, you know, that would be different. And he could wear, like, the priest outfit, that'd be kind of cool, but, you know,
ooh.
Yeah, see? Uh-huh. Something.
I've got a priest movie for you if you want one. Just saying.
What is it?
Velocipastor.
Watch Velocipastor. It is amazing.
I knew Dub was going to say Velocipastor.
I loved that movie, and I can't wait for the second one.
But they're doing a second one?
They are. And it's going to be
amazing.
Hilarious.
Maybe if we get snowed in, I'll have some time to kill and check it out. I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
It's only like 75 minutes. It's only like 75 minutes. Trust me, you've got the time to kill.
Pretty sure it's on Tubi or one of those things.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, is that the cast?
I believe so. Yeah.
Unless we want to bring up Jodie Lynn O'Keefe again, because
she hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well. So even though I was kind of harsh in the fact that all the crows are the same, I will at least give credit. The opening scene was very different than the first two. So I'll give credit for creativity here, because I did like this. So the opening credits, there's a guy dissecting a crow, and he's got a bunch of we'll later find out are like screws underneath his skin. So.
Yes.
And we cut to the inside of a prison. And I had to look, by the way, I had to look this up on Wikipedia. It mentions that this takes place in Salt Lake City, which I don't think is mentioned
at
all in the movie. So
they do. They mention it once.
But
that's it.
Do they? Okay.
Or well, they may not even mention it. Maybe I read the Wikipedia. It said Salt Lake. And I was like, oh.
Perfect chance to have him be named John Smith.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Right there with all the Mormons.
Could have been like the crow gets 8 of his wives killed and he's got... Yeah. But, like, yeah, I don't think it was mentioned in the movie, but I read it, so I'm going to go with that. So this makes our third superhero from... Well, our third... Let's see, we had Guyver went to Utah, and then we had Orgasmo was from Utah, and now we have Crow 3... also takes place and is from Utah, so
there you go. And Oklahoma can't get a single one.
I know. Utah's up there with, like, New York and L.A. for as many superheroes as they've got from there, but something tells me this might be the final, but...
Meth heads don't make good superheroes, so...
Fair enough. That's fair enough.
I might go out to Utah this year. We'll see.
That is not ever a vacation destination that I've thought of.
Well, here's why, because I really enjoy Las Vegas, but I found out that just outside of Salt Lake, there's, like, and this is super nerdy, which, I mean, we're already doing a podcast where we review superhero movies, so. But there's, like, a Renaissance fair that's, like, on steroids. So it's, like, you go in, and everyone's in character, and you have to, like, wear stuff to go in, and it's, like, super detailed. And I'm like, you know what? I'd probably do that. And
nope.
It's just
no Ren fairs for me.
It's just like an hour flight to Las Vegas, so you know it's some. It's like a pit stop. I can hit it up along the way. You don't like Ren fairs, Caleb?
I don't like the idea of Ren fairs.
I do. I don't know.
Never put that much thought into them.
They may not have them in Oklahoma. I don't know.
Oh, they have a big one like 30 minutes from here every year, but.
Yeah, in Muskogee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a big one in Ohio. Yeah, it's like ours is like halfway between Columbus and Cincinnati. It was pretty fun, but they didn't have it last year, so COVID got medieval times too.
Mm.
I know.
Hate to see it.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, we are at a. Like I said, they're at this. At this prison, a guy named Alex Corvus, he's about to be executed for the murder of his girlfriend on his 21st birthday.
Oh my god.
Which was kind of...
And the dickhead warden comes in and gives him a birthday cake.
I don't know if they would give a death penalty for one murder, though. That seems... I don't know. It seems kind of light. I mean,
it's
bad.
Stabbed her 53 times, Eddie.
I know, but... I don't know. Usually you don't see the death penalty for one murder, unless it's like you murdered a cop in cold blood or something like that. That's usually the only time. But whatever. So this actually got me thinking. I'm like, this is Utah. Does Utah really use the electric chair? Because this is 2000 yeah. where they were starting to phase it out.
That's what I was like. I thought I didn't know exactly when they stopped using the electric chair. I thought like, that was dated by like 20 years by the time this movie had come out.
Well, I did a bit of a deep dive, and Alex, what is his name? Corvus. Alex Corvus
yes.
would actually be the first person to be executed via electric chair in the state of Utah. So congrats to him. Typically,
yeah, that's an honor.
They used a firing squad for the long time. Then they switched to lethal injection, and their last, they have not had an execution since 2010, and it was done through the firing squad. So there you go. But they've had
that's hardcore.
Yeah, they had hangings. Oh, you want hardcore? This is
Iron Maiden.
So in the let's see, the 1800s, they had garroting, which is not
Tell
sure
me
what
how
it
spell
is. G A R R O T I N G. I'm just looking at a photo of it and. It looks very painful. And then my favorite, 1850 was a beheading.
Oh my god.
1850 they had a beheading, which got to bring that back. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty hardcore.
And then after that they switched to hangings, firing squad, and lethal injection. So that's your capital punishment in Utah.
I mean, if you get to pick in Utah, can you pick, like, I want a firing squad of lethal injection darts?
You know what?
There.
Garroting looks like that thing in, what was the movie? The World Is Not Enough with James Bond, where they strap him in, and then she cranks on that bolt in the back, and the bolt pushes on the back of his neck, but his neck is also... strapped in with this metal thing, so it eventually cracks your neck.
Jeez, some crow. That's awful.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. I think firing squad would be the way to go. I mean, it's painless. Yeah. Just one bullet, you're done.
Humans are terrible.
Yeah. I think I will, if I have to get executed, Lord willing, that doesn't happen, I will request a death by fire.
Oh no no! I would want I'd want the firing squad.
No, I literally no. Set me on fire.
Although this one's pretty
like
funny.
Shoot fireballs at me.
Yeah, like Hogan did to Sting at Halloween Havoc '98.
This was a good one. 1879. Staying there was a botched firing squad in Utah. So I guess you have the risk of being shot and not actually killed.
Sorry, I made a mistake, and I'm glad Dub pointed it out. Hogan blew the fireball at Warrior, not Sting.
They gave it a shot, at least.
Yep.
Didn't go so well, but...
So, all righty, then.
That is your Utah Capital Punishment
portion of the podcast.
Yeah. Look, I was...
History lessons!
Yeah, and...
No, there's going to be education today.
So there you go. He's the first and only man electrocuted by, sentenced to death by electric chair. So, there
you go. In Utah.
Mm-hmm. So.
By the way, our accents all shine out when we say Utah.
I heard it from Eddie a minute ago, yeah.
I hear it from myself.
I have an accent when I say Utah.
Utah. You're saying it right now, man. You're not saying it like me, but you can hear it. You can hear it for sure.
What is my accent?
It's hard to describe. It's like Midwestern.
Isn't that how you say it? Utah? How are you supposed to say Utah?
You're saying it right there was now.
There's an "aw" at the end.
Utah.
Okay.
It sounds weird.
Say it correctly, like a person.
I can't say it correctly.
It's impossible.
I'm from Oklahoma.
It's.
Well, then shouldn't there only be? I don't know.
Utah.
Oh, Utah.
Feel like I'm saying it normally, like how it's spelled.
Yeah, that's the thing, but like there's no way to correct your pronunciation to where like the locals would say it. That's the thing.
Well, how would a local say Utah?
I can't say it because I'm not from there, sir.
Oh, okay. Here's a quick funny Utah story. I was working
Utah.
At a Okay, Salt Lake story.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I was working at a long, long ago. I was at a call center, and this lady was like, she was mad about something that we couldn't do on the website, and she lived in New York, and she was like, you know, I hate to even say this, but I guess I have to. I know you guys are, and this was true, we were based out of Salt Lake, but we moved to Columbus, and she's like, I know you guys are based out of, you know, Salt Lake City, but, you know, and maybe the technology just hasn't caught up out there yet, because of how things can be done in New York City, but I think you should be able to do it right now. I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, well, you know, people in Salt Lake, it's a little, they're a little behind the times, I suppose. But,
they're,
you know,
a little stupid.
Out, she's like, but out in New York? And I'm like, well, actually, we've moved to Columbus now. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, that's a little bit closer to the East Coast, so that helps. And I'm like, what is this? Like, what are you talking about? Like, San Jose is the tech capital of the world, and it's really far from New York. So I have no idea what the geography has to do with it. And
computer machines haven't made it that far west yet.
I know. It's like, I happen to know Salt Lake is a pretty good town as far as, you know, tech companies go. So, okay. I don't know. She thinks the closer you are, it's like WandaVision. The closer you are to New York, the more, you know, the closer you are to Wanda, the better you are. But if you're further away, you're just stagnant and asleep. So.
Yes.
That, yeah, that was fun.
Okay.
So anyway, let's get into the actual movie. Enough of the history of Utah, or however you want to say
Utah.
I knew Caleb was going to say it again.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, Alex is taken from his cell. He's put in the electric chair. His final words are, I loved Lauren, I still do, and I'm innocent. And he is electrocuted. And all these people are watching, including the dad, Nathan, who he's shown getting out of the car earlier, and like you can immediately say, oh, well, this guy's the guy that was killed her. So, but, so yeah, he's got electrocuted. He's put into a freezer where he wakes up and he looks in the mirror and his face is all burnt, and then he just peels it off and his face is normal again underneath. Which I don't think.
Bruh, he shouldn't have even done the crow makeup. He should have kept those burns on his face, man.
Yeah, I didn't. It's like, that's not how burns work. You can't just peel it off and be like, oh, I'm fine again.
Yeah. Oh, that's not my biggest problem with this movie. My biggest problem will come later.
Well, here's one of my problems with the movie. So, like I said, he looks completely normal, and then all of a sudden he's got the crow makeup on. And when I say crow makeup, he's got guy liner and a couple of black lines on his face. Pretty weak, I thought. I was not a fan.
All right, it came off. It looks like it kind of like got more pronounced as the movie went on. Like they kept screwing with the makeup through the whole thing.
Yeah, he looked like a hint of like the sidekick of the crow.
Yeah, the pigeon's not. He's quite murder as boy. Intimidating.
Yeah, the pigeon man. So the crow does show up, and Alex follows the crow throughout the prison. And he gets on the roof, and all the guards are about to shoot him, and he jumps off, and I think he turns into a crow and flies away? Is that what happened? Because that's what it seemed like to me.
That's what it read to me. That was my first huge complaint with the movie, is that they made it... Because it goes back and forth through the whole thing. Like, it seems like he can turn into one, and then he's following one instead.
Yeah, okay. I think
If he can just turn into one, why isn't he just flying to all these? This movie's going to be like 30 minutes shorter because he's just flying to each location.
Yeah, that was a power that, Draven and what's-his-face did not have. So they kind of got ripped off. Actually, would have helped the guy in the second one because he could have flown up the building instead of climbing the side of it. Something to think about. So he flies to a police station, and he's in the records room. He reads about Lauren's death from the files in the room, and we get a flashback of Corvus being framed by someone at the trial execution, just some skeevy-looking guy who we find out his name is Tommy. He then visits her grave, and we get a flashback of their relationship, which I'm sure was, Dub's favorite part with the scenes.
Anytime Lauren. She's on my screen, I'm happy.
Exactly. So, Erin, Kirsten Dunst, Lauren's sister, goes to visit her grave, and Crow just wanders out of nowhere.
Back out, it's the Crow!
He talks to Erin. He says that he knew her, but she freaks out and calls her dad, Nathan, over, and Crow vanishes. And then Crow visits Tommy Leonard, the man who lied at his trial and wants to know who the man with the scar, a.k.a. the real killer, is. And Tommy says, I was given a job in construction in exchange for lying, which is weird, but...
That is probably the oddest trade-off I've ever heard. You know what? I'm going to lie in court for you so I can do manual labor. Thank you.
You perjured yourself.
It's ridiculous that it's like, he's not like getting a high-paying, like, six-figure-a-year job. He's like, I'll perjure myself in court for $12 an hour.
I don't know. It was year 2000. You know, that's...
Yeah, but still, like, that's... even then, it's just like, really?
Yeah, perjury's a
it's a serious offense, you know?
Yeah. And, I don't know. It seems like DNA testing was, around, so this frame job didn't really seem... Like, it seemed like a competent, lawyer could have figured out that, hey, this woman who was stabbed 53 times, there's no way one person could have done it. I don't know. But, okay. So, yeah, he perjured himself in exchange for a construction job. At least say, like, a foreman job on, like, a major project. You know, that one I could have bought.
Yeah. My own work site. Yeah.
Yeah. So... It was actually, but we learned it was actually the crooked cops who killed Lauren, and he has this list of all the cops that were doing something with the murder, and he's like, which one of these did it? And he's like, well, you've already got the list. So I was like, why is he even interrogating this guy if he already knows who did it? But anyway, so he also, we also cut to another scene of the guy adding a scar to his arm by putting screws under his forearm, which didn't seem like something the captain would do. but
yeah, but we'll talk about that later. I have a huge problem with that.
Yeah, spoiler, the captain's the scar-armed guy.
Oh, ruined it.
I know. So, the first crooked cop on the list is Dutton. He pulls over two girls, one is passed out, and he is going to rape them. But the crow shows up.
Oh, boy, the streak is back!
Oh, that's true, that's true.
It'll die next week, but whatever.
This will fit right in the 80s, this movie.
Yeah.
And Dutton shoots him, but he's fine, and Crow sends the woman away. And he has the knife that was planted in Alex's car to murder Lauren. Crow grabs Dutton's head and sees his thoughts and sees that he was there with, you know, the four cops that raped and killed Lauren. And then Crow then kills Dutton by shooting him in the mouth. And then we got kind of a cool visual of the Crow logo splattered in blood on not the hood, but the roof of his car.
Yep.
Yeah, that was at least kind of cool.
It was, I agree.
Then we cut to not sure what this was, the Key Club, which is some weird, like, it starts off as a strip club, and then the further you get into it, it becomes some weird fetish club, and it looked like they were broadcasting the videos online, like, through, like, early versions of Internet Explorer, which was funny, and I was like, man, is this, I thought that we got, like, the first dark web stuff. But I actually did a deep dive on that, too. And that was created in 2000. So this movie came out in January of 2000. So by the time they filmed it, the dark web did not exist yet. So it was just on the normal web.
The old web.
Yeah. Dark web created by the Navy. Fun fact.
Really?
Yeah.
Failures, Navy. God.
They had good intentions when they made it. They didn't know it was going to lead to child porn.
That's what they want you to think, man.
So anyway, Crow finds the next... I don't know what that scene was even about. I was typing it as I was watching. I'm like, okay, this will go somewhere. And then it just cuts to the crow doing something. Like, okay. So we find the next crooked cop. Oh, it was Madden. Madden was just walking through it, so... Madden likes the fetish stuff. I guess every villain in The Crow has to like a fetish. That's
good. Mm-hmm.
So, Crow, he finds the next crooked cop, Ulrich, who had just paid...
Skeet Ulrich!
Yeah. He had just paid Alex's
Billy
lawyer
Loomis.
A visit. Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
It's alright. So, Crow drives Ulrich around. He stabs his hand to his leg, which... seemed really, really painful. And Ehrlich said, hey, you know, it was about money, and the girl just got in the way. So the car, he slams it into a bus, and they both fly through the windshield. Crow, of course, is fine. Ehrlich is barely alive, but then the crow just drops a lighter, or a cigarette. He popped the cigarette lighter in the car, which they don't have anymore, and then he pulls it out, and then drops it into the leaking gas and blows it up, and Ehrlich's now dead. So two down, two to go. So Crow visits Aaron and gives Aaron the registration form from Ehrlich's car, which was leased from the Dirt Corporation, D-E-R-T, which lists Aaron's home as the address. Aaron does some digging and finds out her dad, Nathan, does business with the corrupt cops. And Nathan says that, you know, he's like, oh, I never meant for Lauren to die. So this is where he took it kind of, didn't take it very hard that his actions led to his daughter's death.
No, I mean, you let it happen.
Then we get old Stan Roberts, who is a corrupt cop, but not one of the four that killed Lauren, which is kind of a shame because it would have led to more screen time.
Yes.
But a less cool death, so... Because the main corrupt cop, I thought his death sucked. So, Stan Roberts, he finds out Tommy leaked info to this crow person, and he kills Tommy. At one point, there's like a baby, and he's just like, turn that effing baby down. Like, there's a, a volume knob on it. Great line.
Yeah.
Boyd Crowder. Great.
Oh, Boyd.
Can't spell Crowder without Crow.
That's what we need to do once we run our course here. Become a Justified podcast.
I don't hate it. Mm. I don't hate it.
I'm glad you don't.
So Crow visits his lawyer and tells him... that sentence is just funny. But he visits his lawyer and tells him about the Dirt Corporation, and they need to find out why Lauren died. Aaron then goes to where Lauren was killed and meets Crow. Aaron... this part didn't make a ton of sense to me, but Aaron blamed herself for Lauren's murder, telling Crow that she told the cops where Lauren was, and Crow... I didn't really understand that. I guess my interpretation was Aaron never really liked Alex, and they had gotten into an argument that day that she was murdered, so maybe
clearly
when the...
they were rich and he was just a mechanic, so... yeah.
He should have been a,
lowering herself.
He should have been a construction worker. He would have gotten paid a lot more.
$12 an hour. I'm just saying.
Not nine.
He's not some pleb.
Yeah, so I guess that was the deal. And she told the cops where Lauren was. And that's when they found her and killed her, raped her, all that good stuff. And then Crow shows Aaron the flashback of what happened to Lauren, so the cops go to, so she kind of feels less guilty, I guess. Which I like how Crow can now can download people's memories and just play them for other people. It's kind of cool. Wish you could do that with DVR, like download a show and then take it to a friend's house and then just play it for them.
He did kind of that in the first one.
Did he?
With the all the pain,
yeah, all to the villain.
Yeah, I guess so. That's it's a neat power. So, Crow, he shows Lauren that. Then the cops go to where Alex's body is, but he's not in the freezer. The police captain, who we finally see, pays Nathan a visit, and we learn that Lauren was snooping around, and that's what got her killed. Just a pretty generic reason, I guess. And the captain asks Nathan, you know, what are we going to do from here? And Aaron comes home and sees that her dad killed himself, but I think the implication is the captain killed him and made it look like a suicide. And was like, hey.
What's his first name?
Who, the captain?
No, the dad.
Nathan.
Nathan Randall did not kill himself.
No, but that was what they made it look like a suicide.
No, I was doing the whole Epstein thing.
Oh yeah, because he's an executive producer on this. How did we forget that?
You mean Weinstein?
Weinstein.
We're mixing
all
kinds of terrible people together right now.
Well, it's the Steen got me confused. But yes.
Okay, all those Jews, they look the same. Jeez, Ed.
I did not say that.
You may as well have.
No, I may as well not have. But yeah, Harvey Weinstein, executive producer on this movie.
Mm. Ouch. Probably the worst thing he's done.
No. I made that same joke about City of Angels.
You did, actually. Pardon
that was
me,
a
yeah.
much worse crime than this one.
Is he on City of Angels, too? I don't even...
He was connected.
It's okay. A Miramax movie, so basically Miramax is
that's true.
Actually, was that Disney still owning Miramax at that point?
No clue.
I have no idea.
That's a whole different.
We'll get into some way worse people, so you know, buckle up for what is it? Superman Returns, Lex Luthor.
Oh, Singer, yeah, and Kevin Spacey on the same movie.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Talk about
I forgot Singer.
Hero right there, because I have always been a huge Kevin Spacey fan, and that one hurt my heart.
Yeah, I was too. And then what PR person told him, because like, I get it,
say you're gay.
Yeah, right? well, no, it wasn't that. It was like, I get trying to, you know, rehab your image and try to come back, although he probably did it way too soon. But whose idea was it to be like, hey, maybe do a YouTube video like President Underwood?
That'll work. He started doing those like every year now. He does a new video.
Oh, it's so weird and borderline. It's like, nope. At least, well, I mean, like, look at OJ. His murder, allegedly, was years and years ago. And now he goes on, you know, Twitter and makes completely self-aware videos like, hey, Twitter world, it's yours truly. And, you know, I was thinking, juries in this country is crazy, am I right? And, like, he has to be self-aware. I mean, it's funny, but then you're like, oh, right, he did probably kill two people. That's not funny. But,
yeah.
Enough time has passed, it's funny now. So, I guess
Actually,
I guess
there's no such thing as too soon.
Yeah.
What's the rule? Is it like 27? What, South Park had a rule for like how long it takes to make jokes about something. And it's like at least 27 years, if not more.
Maybe. But yeah, I don't know. His videos are hilarious, but then you also remember what he did. Probably did. And
100% did.
But yeah, it's very self-aware.
Oh,
and,
sorry, it's 22.3 years, by the way.
Okay,
that's how long it took AIDS to be funny.
Okay, well he's past that then. So
yeah, that's right, folks. Attempted murder is funny now.
Yeah, it was successful.
Oh, pardon me.
I was
going
to say, who attempted murder? Okay, flat out did.
That killer's still on the loose.
That means come 2029, the Benoit thing will be funny.
That's all. Oh,
we're not supposed to be making jokes about that?
Dang it.
I'm always ahead of
the curve. Yeah, I jumped the gun. I jumped the Bowflex, man.
Hey.
Oh.
Sorry.
All right,
let's go on.
So Crow goes back to the lawyer.
Screeching halt to everything right there.
Yeah, Crow goes back to the lawyer, and he tells Crow that Nathan owned a company which owns dirt, and his was a front for drug smuggling. I don't know where they pulled all this from, but whatever, yeah, we'll go with it.
Their ass.
Yeah, and Lauren witnessed Detective Roberts kill someone at the Key Club, which makes me wonder what Lauren was doing there, but... So the... I don't know. She have a second job? So the police captain, John Book... Is it Book? Yeah, Book. John Book had Lauren killed. So there you go. Crow goes to the Key Club. They probably didn't... He probably didn't say, hey, make sure you rape her first and leave a bunch of evidence.
God!
But they did. Or, well, they attempted it, so...
Yeah.
So yeah, so Crow goes to the Key Club, and he frees one of the women there.
He says, "You're young enough to save your life."
Yeah. Which, by the way, that actress is a No Name Jane, and Wikipedia says is an American pornographic actress. So she did not save her life.
That's so sad.
She's like, "Hey, there's still money in this, you know."
Gave her a second chance.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And, Alex Corvus gave you a second chance and you didn't take it.
Yeah. Shame. Shame.
Sure. Might have to do some research after the pod's over.
So the captain, he goes to the lawyers and tells, well, Aaron's also there, and he tells her dad and how her dad killed himself. It seemed like it seemed like Book thought he was breaking the news to Aaron that her dad killed himself. That was weird. I didn't quite understand that scene. But she already knew because she's the one who found his body in the bathtub. But anyway, Captain kills the lawyer and kidnaps Aaron. That's all you need to know. The cops then go to the Key Club and there's a big fight scene. Finally, we get a fight scene in this movie. And unfortunately, our old pal Stan Roberts doesn't make it. Caleb, would you like to tell us what his fate was?
Bruh. He was impaled by a rod by the Crow.
He just chucked it at him,
amazing.
Too.
Amazing. Amazing. He just threw him. I loved it.
Yeah, it was very Xander Drax from The Phantom, where he just grabs a spear off the wall and throws it at this dude.
Every time you say his name, I think Sam Roberts.
Oh yeah, and, the NXT guy.
Yeah, and I how I wish somebody would throw a pipe at him. I
listened to his podcast once, and I didn't realize that it was all pretty much when he interviews someone, it's basically entirely in kayfabe, and that he also, it's like, everything WWE does is awesome.
Jesus Christ, what happened?
My dog tripped on a cord, and something fell behind him, and it freaked him out, but he's okay.
Macho!
So, the rest of the cops, they fire on the crow, but he stays alive, and he shoots the rest of them. Toomey, another of the crooked cops, escapes, but Crow finds him, breaks... So Toomey, like, broke off a pipe, because he's hiding from the crow, and which causes a gas leak, but he breaks off the pipe to use as a weapon, and they're fighting. Madden, the final crooked cop, shoots at them, but since there's a gas leak, causes an explosion, blows it up, kills Toomey, and in the rubble, Crow sees a scarred arm, and he thinks it's over, which I guess he thought Toomey must have been the killer.
Okay, here's my problem. It's okay that, you trick Corvus, and Corvus is like, okay, well, it's over. How did you trick the bird, and how did you trick his body into slowly dying? How does that work?
Yeah, that was an issue I had, where it's like, he should be wondering, like, why can I not die
why
now?
Why am I not in the afterlife? What's going on? Yeah.
Why can't I go back to, Lauren? And it's like, instead, it's like, because when the job's done, the crow can die. But now it's like his powers are gone, but he's still there. It didn't make any sense to me.
None whatsoever.
But yes, Crow lost his powers, but he's still here. So he pays the captain a visit to find Aaron, and he begins to attack Captain Book with the knife, but Book easily beats him up and stabs him multiple times. What a lousy hero.
Yes.
So, without his powers, he truly is a loser. So, Crow then starts thinking he did do the murder as he starts to die, which was weird. It's like he's...
Yeah.
Which is like, you know you didn't. It's like, if someone just repeats it over and over and over again, that doesn't mean that you're like, maybe I did kill her. It's like, no, you didn't. You know you didn't. So why are you even having this, like... in his mind, he's like, God, maybe I did kill her. And it's like, no, you certainly didn't. But, okay. So, yeah, he dies.
Police convince people that they've done things bad all the time.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I've never...
confessed to all kinds of murders.
Well, like, when I opened up my bank account one day and saw a $2,500 payment to a Walmart credit card, I wasn't like, God, did I do that? Like, no, I don't have a Walmart credit card. And if I did, I wouldn't have racked up $2,500 worth of charges on it. But yeah, so Book and Madden take Crow to the secret room, which is like a taxidermy room.
And yeah, they're going to stuff him.
Yeah, Erin is tied up with her mouth sewn shut, which I hate that because it just looks so painful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any piercings, but if I did, I can tell you the one I would never, ever get would be through the lips. That is
I feel like they lifted that from Strangeland, if anybody's ever seen Strangeland. The Dee Snider horror movie.
I've seen it a few times.
He uses, body modifications to torture people.
Yeah, this was...
It's a very interesting one.
I know I've seen it in Saul where but he had to open his mouth in that, and it's like, nope, won't watch that. That looks too painful.
Yeah, if anything tells you about Strangeland, one of my friends, we watched it in probably 99, and to this day she won't take movie advice from me because I made her watch that movie.
So are you a fan of it then?
I enjoyed that movie, but I like Dee Snider, and I like anything kind of twisted like that, so...
Fair enough.
Get it, Twisted Sister. Get it.
Yeah, I got it. Proud of you.
Dee Snider's been in a... We've had a Dee Snider movie, haven't we? Tank Girl.
Are you sure?
No. Who was? There was a rock.
That was Iggy Pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, they both look the same. All coked out. They're both old men.
All those rock stars look the same to me.
Well, that's yeah. But that is true. They do look alike, and
that's fair enough. Yeah.
They've lived a hard life. So this was very lame. A crow flies into the taxidermy room, takes this necklace from Aaron's hand, and drops it next to Alex, who comes back to life. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like...
No clue.
It would be one thing if, like... I don't know. If he found out before he died that the scarred arm man didn't die. Maybe, mm-hmm. But, like, that was super lame.
Again, how did it trick the crow? That's stupid.
I don't know. The crow should see everything.
I have an alternative. Instead of the crow dropping a necklace to bring him back to life, oh my god, make us think the crow is actually dead itself, and that's why Corvus is dead. And then all of a sudden, a window's open. In the corner of the room, in the background, we see a crow fly in. All of a sudden, we see Captain looking at this crow. He gets an oh shit look on his face. We turn over. Corvus sits up just like the Undertaker.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Well,
that better? Is that at least a little better than what we got? Like, be honest with me.
No, it's better. The necklace thing was very, I remember one of the lamest scenes in any movie, and not that this movie should be, like, regarded as high film, but, like, in the Pokemon animated movie. Like, when everyone turns to stone, and it's like their tears bring them back to life, it's like, oh, gross. What a crappy ending. That's kind of what this reminded me of.
I was going to say, like, they did that in the SpongeBob movie as well.
But at least that's, you know, comedy-ish, I guess. But, yeah, anything cheesy like that, I don't like. But that's what it reminded me of. But they do, Madden and Book Secretary do try and kill the bird crow, but they can't. The actual crow kills Madden. This was a lame death. He just pushes him into his glass this glass cabinet, and then I guess some of the glass cut his neck and it killed him. I don't know. That was...
Yeah, he came through the back of his head.
Yeah, that was lame. So, I didn't like that. We also see in the taxidermy room the lawyer's body's all chained up, and he's missing an arm. So, that was the fake arm. And so Alex sees it was a fake, and then I guess regains his powers because the crow is stupid and actually doesn't see everything, even if it's in the very same room as him.
Yes.
So Crow tosses the secretary into deer antlers. That was kind of cool. That kills her. Meanwhile, Aaron escapes from Book, but cuts out her mouth stitches, and then Book finds her. Puts her in his car. As Crow swoops down, which is very funny looking, he punches punches through the sunroof. He grabs Book's arm. He sees the scars. And then, all of a sudden, we just cut to the electric chair room.
Yeah.
So, I guess he apprehended
By the way, I neglected to mention just how badass she was in this movie. I mentioned it earlier. Kirsten Dunst, like twice, not once but twice, she pulls a gun on the police captain, and she holds her own against the lady who, you know, had her mouth sewed shut and everything. She was very, God, she held her own. She was a strong Jenny Blake contender.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So. He has strapped Book into the electric chair and says, you know, experts think it's a painless way to die, which I don't remember ever hearing an expert say that.
No.
It seems like something he just made up. Like, there's no way that being electrocuted to death would be painless.
No.
So he's like, but I assure you.
From a wall socket, that hurt enough. I don't want to go the rest of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
I've touched an electric fence before and I felt a jolt. So, like, no, I don't want to do anything more than that.
Yeah, I think it was a it was a light switch, but like the panel was unscrewed, and just the tip of my finger came into contact with one of the screws that were holding the light switch thing in, and that was probably the worst shock I've had. That was a pretty good zap.
Mm. Oof.
So yeah.
Not a good time.
No, I don't. And then right now during the winter, I get shocked everything I touch. I hate it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So then
my job, you know, stocking crap. Stuff comes in on carts, and they're very good conductors, man.
yeah, I believe it.
Very good conductors.
I like this scene, though, where Crow then looks over at the phone on the wall, and he's like, I don't expect a call from the governor. I'm like, okay, that was pretty cool.
That was a good quip, yeah.
And then Book... This was the highlight for Book. He yells that he's like, look, I'll be back as a crow too, and I'm coming for you. And he looks at Aaron, but I don't think he knows how the crow works.
He should have said, I'll come back as a crow city of angels.
Oh, no, thank you. But
nobody ever wants that.
Yeah, he
could have been worse. He could have said, I'll come back as a crow wicked prayer.
Ooh. But he doesn't understand how the crow works. You have to be killed unjustly. His killing is very just.
I was going to say, you can't, you know, murder girls in cold blood and frame their boyfriend for the murder and then get to come back on a vengeance mission.
Yeah. Well, he didn't actually. He killed the dad.
Oh, and he killed her dad as well. Yeah.
He killed her dad and then gave the order to kill the daughter.
Yeah, but it's just like Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. Like, you're just as culpable because you gave the order. You ordered the code red.
Yeah, and he ordered Tommy to be killed, and he lost his construction job.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's...
Not the $12 an hour.
Yeah. I'd love to see his construction job. Has Tommy showed up yet? No, he didn't even call off sick today. He was so excited about this job. Way more excited than anyone else here.
We gave that son of a bitch $12 an hour for this.
Great stuff.
So yes, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good speech from Book, but they put the mask on him and they fire, start electrocuting him, which this I thought was.
And he gets to die like the guy from the Green Mile.
Yeah. Well, I thought this was a little backwards, because, like, he's loaded with so much voltage that he catches on fire, but then the screws in his arm, it starts bleeding. I'm like, wouldn't that be... wouldn't the screws in the arm catch fire because they're a conductor? I mean, look, I know nothing about science, but that seems accurate, where they wouldn't start bleeding. It seems like that would be something that would catch fire on you.
I don't know that they'd catch fire. I would have thought that the way I read it was that they just heated up so much that they blew out the ends.
Maybe. Well, his body caught fire, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then his arm, they show, is like bleeding profusely from the holes in his arm. But I would have thought the arm would be the thing to catch fire. But I don't know. Either way, he's dead.
Huh. Yep. D.E.D. dead.
Burnt. Quite. Just like Bray Wyatt. And the next day, Alex and Lauren, they seem to be reunited in the afterlife as Aaron puts the necklace on Alex's grave, which, you know, that was it. Roll credits to some
in
filter.
Heaven by Brian Adams plays us out.
No, it doesn't. Filter Best Things plays us out, which is a good song.
Oh, man. Oh, that's the Hey Man, Nice Shirt?
No. That's Best Things.
That's not them?
No. I mean, it's the same band, but it's not the same song.
Okay. Well, no, I know it's not the same song.
Yes, same
band.
Oh,
by the way, Dub, I say Hey Man, Nice Shirt because I have a friend who was dumb as a kid and heard it as Hey Man, Nice Shirt. So that's where that comes from.
It's literally the name of the song.
Nice shot.
Not the name of the song.
No, I mean the name of the song is literally the phrase he's messing up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I know. Yes.
And in high school,
he was a dumb kid.
I can beat that. In high school, I knew a guy who thought the Renegades of Funk was a different word that started with an F and with a K. And he would, but he would also sing it in the car. And it's like, it's not the words, dude. And it was so funny. Just he would be like, Renegades of, you know. It's so funny.
That's great. That's great. All right, I guess now we can rate the movie on a scale of 1 to 10. And I told you guys I was going to go somewhere in between what the critics and fans said, and I'm not a liar. So I'm going to give this a 3 out of 10.
Okay.
And honestly, a good chunk of those points come from Kirsten Dunst.
Dub, how about you?
I hadn't really thought about the rating on it. I give it a lot more credit because the first time I told you guys I tried to watch it and I fell asleep 30 minutes in, but I blame that partially on just being an old man. But
fair.
I watched it. I put it on last night, started up where I'd fallen asleep, and actually really got into it and thoroughly enjoyed what I was watching. And then, you know, Jodie Lynn O'Keefe. And I'm going to go up to – I'll give it like a 6. We'll go up to that high.
Oh, wow.
So,
by the way, for reference, I gave Crow City of Angels a 2. Kayla gave it a 1.5, and you gave it a 1. And then you gave Crow a 9. Kayla gave it a 6.5. I gave it an 8.5. This movie, I've said it about a few other movies. RoboCop 2 comes to mind, where it's like, you know, there were some good ideas, but the execution just wasn't quite there. And there was a good movie in there, but they just didn't pull it out. So I liked the concept of him being executed. That was neat, and corrupt cops and everything. But the plot was very thrown together. Maybe a better actor would have helped. Maybe more Walton Goggins would have helped. But I'm going to go with a 4, you know. I was really dreading this because, you know, City of Angels was so bad, but this was, you know, and it was quick, so I didn't mind it. It certainly is far from the worst thing we've seen, but, you know, it's fine to at least complete the trilogy, and then there were no more Crow movies ever made that we'll ever have to review.
Never, ever, ever made anything else. My first note that I made about this movie was that it had a better cast than it truly deserved.
Yes,
because there was a lot of very familiar faces in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I could say that did better on cast but worse on plot and everything, it was probably RoboCop 3, because that was loaded with great character actors.
Well, just because it's the end of The Crow doesn't mean that necessarily has to be the end of Dub, because any other superhero movie that... I don't know. You strike me as like a V for Vendetta fan. I don't know. Maybe I'm just making...
I think no? I've seen it once.
Okay. That was just a guess. That's just a guess.
I'll send up the list and let him.
Yeah, we'll have him
tell me
on.
What he's more into.
We'd love to have you back on. I've seen a ton of the movies and the shows and everything, but Crow was my definite wheelhouse.
Yeah, because there's a movie upcoming that I'm going to try to get Oral Pal Eli back on. It's not Ninja Turtles, because some people have more than one interest. So, but next week, my God, what a monster episode next week. Maybe the biggest movie we've done as far as what it did for the history of superhero movies.
Yeah, this movie is going to revive...
Yes.
The superhero boom.
that Batman and Robin killed. Now we are doing X-Men from 2000. X-Men. You can get it on
and
Disney Plus.
And barring, because I will be getting COVID tested before I go to Jacksonville, but barring a positive COVID test, we will be filming that and reviewing that in person.
Mm-hmm. If you have COVID, I will kill you with COVID, just so you know. You will ruin the whole thing.
Oh man, but you can watch that on Disney Plus. actually. Yeah. It's one of the few, I think they call it, I think it's called the Marvel Legacy Collection.
Yeah, or if you don't have Disney Plus, it's on YouTube and iTunes and Google Play and Prime. But
yeah, and folks, we will be reviewing that. And it's going to release on March 10, so nothing's going to release out of order. But just so you know, we will be reviewing Citizen Toxie, Toxic Avenger 4 before we review X-Men, and we may be reviewing Unbreakable beforehand as well.
Yeah, well, we wanted our first. Our first in-person review to be a big movie, and no offense to Citizen.
You got a mouse in your pocket, bud?
Well, look.
Because I didn't care.
But you at least have to agree that our first in-person interview. I mean, it's like if our first in-person interview is Unbreakable, that's kind of lame, right? I mean, we can.
No, Unbreakable's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not X-Men, but it's not bad. I mean, the fact that we're this close to meeting up and the fact that X-Men is right here on the list, it just makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
That might be our longest episode, too, because when we do history with it, that'll, you know, I could go on all day for that, so.
Don't make me spend more than 90 minutes of my vacation in a hotel talking about a movie.
No. I mean, probably will go over 90 minutes, but hopefully not too much for
it. Yeah.
Maybe it'll rain.
That's.
I can't rain all the time.
Might in Florida.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, is that Crow reference?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Snuck that in right at the end.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, folks, we're going to get out of here, and I do have one piece of advice from my good friend Walton Goggins, a.k.a. Boyd Crowder, a.k.a. something Roberts.
Stan.
What was his first name? Stan Roberts. Turn that effing baby down.